The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome, everyone, to an emergency episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Usually, once the season starts, there's no emergency episodes until about near the trade deadline. Then we come on and react to a trade or whatnot. But it's happening tonight, and the reason for that, Garrett Crochet and the Boston Red Sox have agreed to a six-year extension worth $170 million. That will include an opt-out after the fifth year. So the Red Sox were guaranteed to have Crochet for 5 years. So that comes out to roughly an average annual value of $28.3 million a year. So being paid ace-level money. With me tonight, Nick Diamond, Chris Felico, and we've had some interesting developments internally here in the podcast in the last probably 48 hours. Evan Kay no longer with us, and Chris was in one of my three attempts at building a separate YouTube crew. It never worked out. No fault on Chris's end, but it's a hard thing to pull off, but he's back with the regular crew and will be on with us throughout the season. So let's start with you, Chris. You've had an interesting last 24 hours.
Yeah, sure have. Glad to be back on the team. And this came as a surprise, not going to lie. Today actually is my birthday. And of course, in typical fashion, the Sox lost. And then we got this news, which brought a little bit of a breath of fresh air back into my sails, at least. I got to be honest, I didn't think this was going to happen this soon. It kind of seemed like things were starting to kind of go dead on the Crochet front. And the way that the season started, I'm not going to lie, I started thinking like, oh man, maybe it would have been nice to hold on to Kyle Teal, because what happens if we don't sign this guy? We only got him for 2 years. So pleasantly surprised. I think when I first saw the news break, I believe this is the largest contract for someone who's only had, 4 to 5 years of service in the MLB as a pitcher. So it's a pleasant surprise and shock. Interested to hear what your guys' thoughts are.
Well, go ahead, Nick. What was your reaction? And actually, before you do, there was a report by Rob Bradford over the weekend saying that they did get close and that Crochet would be optimistic on the next round of negotiations, presumably next winter, because there was a deadline in place. So, but go ahead. So knowing all that, are you surprised?
Yeah, I'm still surprised, just because I thought Crochet was going to go out there and bet on himself. I thought he was going to go out there, try to dominate and go hit free agency. I thought at one point he was interested in an extension last year during the deadline. I think he got to Boston, saw how everyone around the league valued him, and he said, I'm going to go out there, bet on myself, go to free agency. But that didn't happen. The Red Sox put out a good offer out there that I think is fair for both sides, and I'm very happy it got done. I am surprised, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of momentum right now behind Christian Campbell, and they may be close to an extension with him, and that makes a lot of sense because he's in a much different situation. Rookie year, pre-arbitration, not as much money at stake. And if you go back to last year, I think it was about the second week of the season, Seydon Rafaela agreed to his extension. So it can happen, you know, in the first half of April. But I was surprised, like you just kind of referenced, Nick, he was going to bet on himself because, yeah, he might only be making $3 million this year, and he'd probably make 10 or 12 next year in his final year of arbitration. So, you know, you can take a pay cut for for years one and two of your Red Sox tenure for when you hit free agency going into that third winter, and then be making $30, $35, $40 million if he, you know, contends for the Cy Young, as many of us expect. So, yeah, maybe a little bit less money now, but a huge bag later. So part of me is wondering, like, I'll be curious to know the timing if those details ever get released, because he didn't have the greatest debut. It wasn't terrible by any means, but, you know, he gave up, what, two runs, I think, only struck out four, and he's a strikeout machine. So it wasn't that statement debut that some of us might have expected. So I don't know if I wonder if that just factored into it. And, you know, maybe he felt a little bit of pressure and said, you know what, let's just take the sure thing. I mean, $170 million, your family's set up for generations at that point. So if he were to blow his arm out next year, that all goes by the wayside. And, you know, look at, this isn't the best comparison, but, you know, I think a lot of us thought Alex Verdugo would be making a pretty penny when he got to free agency. And now, you know, through a lot of reasons that are self-inflicted, he's only making $1.5 million this year because of, you know, some mistakes he made. Bad judgment, I guess. So, you know, with Crochet, 170. Does the money surprise you? Like, because that's a little bit higher than I thought it would go.
Honestly, no. I think this was perfect for both sides. I think any less, Crochet says no. This is the perfect amount. It gives about, what is it, 28 mil a year AAV?
Yeah.
Seven, or 6 years, 170. You get it under 30 million if you're the Red Sox. I think that's a great accomplishment. And you get him locked up, and he gets to opt out at 31. So he can go out there and go get another huge, massive contract, and the Red Sox can keep him for only 5 years. So I think this is perfect for both sides. Any lower than this, I think Crochet would have walked and just said, hey, I'm going to go hit free agency, deal with me then, $320 million. So I think we saved a lot of money, and I think Crochet is going to be good. And, you know, you said that his opening day start was a little underwhelming. I am really, really excited for Wednesday night to see him pitch against the Orioles. So I expect him to dominate after getting this big extension. You know, I'm really excited for his next start. I expect great things out of him, though.
Yeah.
There's going to be no pressure at this point.
Yeah, I agree with Nick as far as it being the perfect deal for both sides, and I think that's probably what surprised me the most. The way things were looking, I really thought it would get to a point where it would be a waiting game, Crochet would bet on himself, and if there was going to be an extension, we were going to have to overpay. I think the two factors of, you know, potential injury, especially with Crochet's history, definitely maybe reared in the back of his head. And I think to your point, Terry, the underwhelming, I don't, you know, maybe underwhelming is not the right way to say it, but the less than impressive opening day start. I mean, let's face it, without some Willier Abreu heroics, we get swept that series. Crochet gets an L, and it's completely, you know, remembered differently. And who knows how that goes. And if he decides that he's going to bet on himself and how that plays out, if negotiations break down, does it get cold on the Sox side? But I agree with Nick. I'm looking forward to Wednesday. I think it's, you know, we wanted Crochet, and this is the big time pitcher we wanted for a moment like this. We're kind of down in the dumps. We're 1-4. And this is the kind of start that can maybe catapult us and start to turn our season around. That's the hope. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. I put a mock contract out there, and I thought I was more off than I was. And I was actually not too far off. So the the mock extension I put out there, which was right after the trade, so this is early December when I did it, was 5 years, $110 million. And then I added two really expensive option years worth $35 million apiece. So that would have brought it to 7 years, $180 million. I guess it wound up in the ballpark of where I thought it could be. The 5-1-10, that's an average annual value of $22 million. To me, the thing that I was fixated on was this is unprecedented. As I had said on recent episodes, he's only pitched one full year, if you even want to call it that. It was 140 innings. So, you know, how much leverage does he have? How much leverage does the Red Sox have? It's a very unprecedented situation. I've never seen this type of negotiation with a pitcher of that little service time as a starter. He had a handful of years as a reliever. Some of them were injured. There was a gap due to the Tommy John surgery that he had in, I think, 2022 or 2023. So, you know, now we know, and that's a decent deal. And the important thing here, or the most notable thing, is John Henry went after a starting pitcher on a long-term deal that hasn't happened in a long time. Chris Sale's extension was the most recent one. And obviously it didn't go well, and there were a lot of red flags there. I wasn't a fan of it at the time where it happened a year earlier. I would have made him pitch that final option year and then, did it. But this is the first time since then. And I mentioned on Twitter, I said, if ever there was like a unicorn type pitcher that was going to make you go against your business model, go against all of the known philosophies you've had, it's Garrett Crochet. I mean, he's just got the makeup. He's got the punch outs. He's got everything you want. He's only 26 years old. He's got a newly rebuilt elbow. This is the guy that you make that move on. We've heard the narrative going back as far as 2014, 2015, they don't like signing pitchers over 30. So this guy checked off every box. He's 26 and he's got that front of the rotation stuff. I mean, is there a better pitcher in the American League East at this point? I don't think so.
At this point, I would say no.
No. Not with Garrett Cole hurt. I think Crochet is the best pitcher in the American League East.
Yeah, and I mean, Garrett Cole will be back and he'll be, what, 35, 36 when that happens. And seeing Jake DeGrom this weekend pitch pretty well, 98 miles an hour on the gun, I wouldn't be a pessimist with Garrett Cole bouncing back, but he's not going to be the guy he used to be. And I think Garrett Crochet is right on the precipice of being, you know, prime Garrett Cole, basically, and having that type of an impact. And he sounds like he has the personality to pitch in Boston based on how he talks. And there's no elephant in the room anymore as far as starting pitching goes. Like, it's not a conversation. We can drop it. And as you guys alluded to, looking forward to his next start, there's no pressure now. He's got his money. The 100% of his focus is just on winning, helping this team. And I'm glad we don't have to talk about it, you know, going forward as far as the extension goes.
Yeah, no, luckily this Sox, I'm sure, will give us plenty else to talk about now that this is out of the way.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been an emotional day. I mean, we just lost our fourth straight game. Devers, that story seems far from settled in a number of different ways. Trevor Story had me pretty annoyed earlier. And, you know, when Meyer starts tearing the cover off the ball, that aspect of things is going to be interesting. So So I guess, you know, after dropping that, you know, opening game to the Orioles today, at least we have the Garrett Crochet news.
Hopefully it's not the last extension news of the week.
Yeah, I think Campbell is going to do it at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if that drops before Friday. I bet they'll have that done, or maybe they'll announce it on Friday at the home opener. Another thing, I just wonder if, you know, the Crochet extension just happened. Christian Campbell, I just wonder if Roman Anthony, if this is just going to incentivize him to do it. It's hard to, I think we might've just lost Chris. Chris, we had him put his picture up. The camera on this app that we use, Nick's had problems with it and is using a different picture, and Chris wasn't able to resolve his. So, but maybe he'll jump back in here. But getting back to it, I hope this makes Anthony want to do it.
I honestly doubt it does, but I hope it does too. Anthony hit two home runs again yesterday. I think it was yesterday.
Oh,
yeah,
two?
He hit two home runs in one game.
Okay.
He's pushing the envelope. He's ready to go. I think he wants to be in the major leagues as soon as possible. The Red Sox are going to have to make a decision soon. And you mentioned Meyer over Story. I think that needs to be done now.
What do you – Story's killing us in the five hole.
Story's not a good hitter. That's it. I mean, he's going to catch the ball. Hopefully he stays healthy, but he doesn't bring much offensively besides base running.
Let's talk about Campbell real quick. I was going to save this for the midweek show, but what the hell? We're here now. We've got a pretty decent sized live audience. What do you think his extension is going to be? Now, Rafaela got 68, and that might include his option year on the very end. But what do you think Campbell gets?
785-ish, 685. I don't. It's going to be around the Jackson Chourio extension, I'm assuming, maybe a little bit less.
What did he get? Do we know? Yeah, not good radio. We're doing everything on the fly. Jackson
8 years, Chourio 82. Extension. I think it's probably.
Okay. And he was. Top one or two in all. Okay. So that is a pretty good comp then. So let's go 785. And then I bet there would be an option year or two tacked on.
I think so
that.
As well.
Because, I mean, just look at it this way. You have them for 6 years. So I just think you want at least a couple years added onto that. I'd like to have at least 9, to be honest. And, you know, perhaps that's asking a lot, but Acuna signed a 10-year deal. Two of those, it was 8 years with two option years worth 100. And that's several years ago now. He's at least halfway through that deal, but I don't know. I'd like to take full advantage here. And with him being a right-handed hitter, Anthony probably does have a higher ceiling, but man, we're just so depleted with right-handed bats. And we're just talking about Trevor Story not cutting it, and he'll be replaced by Meyer eventually, who's a lefty. And I know Anthony has reverse splits so far throughout his minors career, so he can hit lefties. Jaron Duran, you know, hits lefties okay, not so much for power, but for average. So. Campbell's a guy I definitely covet, and his recognition, his command of the strike zone is probably as good as Tristan Casas, I would say.
I've been super impressed by Campbell so far, and Yeah, his feel for the strike zone. He only swings at strikes. His bat speed is incredible. He's got like top of the MLB type bat speed, up there with like Giancarlo Stanton and like Kyle Schwarber type stuff. If you want to get him to 9 years, I think you got to tack on another like $50-60 million, just because you expect him to get at least $20 million plus at that point in free agency. It's just, how much do you want to commit to him after you just committed to Crochet? Because if you want to go 9 years, $135 million, I'd be a little bit skeptical to do that after five major league games, I guess. But I would do the 785, but 800, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so just take that, and again, that's a pretty good comp because that's about what Chorio got. What would his option years be worth at that point?
I think at least $24 million.
Yeah, right. So let's say 25, just to make the math easier. So that would be $50 million in option years. Not that $48 million was hard. Yeah. So that would be 135 over 10 years. So I don't, if the number gets up higher and it's the option years that do it, cause you got to figure if all goes,
I think
well,
each option year would go up a few million. Yeah.
Yeah. You could do that. It could be 25 and 35. So that would bring it up to 145. But those numbers should be a bargain if he's the player you hope he ends up being. So, cause he's going to make that money anyway at the end of his deal. So that's why when I mention a willingness to tack on expensive option years, that's just to keep him here for a couple more years at probably closer to whatever his market would be. But I think that would be enticing to the player and would get it done for him to say, okay, well, I'm guaranteed 145 over 10 years, and then I'm going to get a massive bag after that. That's what I mean by taking full advantage. And what would the AAV on, again, doing that? This is an emergency episode, everyone. That's why there's not a ton of time for note taking here. So 85 divided by 7, 12 million a year. Yeah, I don't know if that would be enticing enough for Anthony.
Nah, I don't think Anthony even would commit it unless it starts with a 2.
Yeah. The reason I ask is, let's say that's what Campbell's getting this year. It'll probably be structured way differently. So he'd be making a lot less this year despite the 12 million, but yeah, I don't know. I guess that would just make it less likely. Because say it's just evenly, you know, $12 million a year every year. It's not structured any differently. Anthony would be making less than $1 million for the next 3 years while Campbell's making $12 million a year. And that's what I was getting at. Like, could Campbell making that kind of money right away be enticing enough for Anthony?
Just from Anthony's comments, I don't think so. I think he wants to make $500 million. I think that's the kind of guy he thinks he is. He's a superstar. And I think I saw a comment that he doesn't want to get locked into an Acuna-type deal. So I think he's kind of betting on himself no matter what. But I said the same thing about Crochet. So we never know. If you make him the right offer, he's going to take it. But I just doubt it happens. I think Campbell will get done. Maybe they get someone else done. Maybe they look at Meyer or something like that. But right now, I don't know where Meyer is going to play long term, unless Bregman opts out. So I think Campbell gets done. Anthony, they might try to, but I doubt he even negotiates much, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's hard to really know where these guys are at, really, but Anthony is the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball. Well, maybe it's Sasaki, but to me, it's still Roman Anthony. Campbell, for comparison, is the number seventh ranked prospect. And where was Rafaela? He was like in the 20s in all of MLB.
I think at one point he might have been
20-30
area.
Yeah, he was. I know he was in the top 100 for sure, but yeah. So we'll see. I don't expect, even if he signed tomorrow, we would. Well, maybe we would come on where it's an off day, but yeah. Garrett Crochet is with the Red Sox, so you've got him going forward. You've got Tanner Houck for, I think, at least three more seasons. Who knows what Richard Fitz is going to end up being, but I'm more of a fan every time I see him. You know, I just, his poise and the fact he doesn't get rattled by situations. Bases loaded, no outs on Sunday, and he gave up one run, but otherwise got out of it. So I like the fact that he doesn't rattle, but you've got your front end guy. I don't know what that does for free agency going forward. Do you think this definitely eliminates Buehler from getting an extension at any point?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't know about Buehler and extension. I think they'll probably, if they don't extend Buehler, I think they'll replace him with somebody. It might be another 1 year deal.
Well, I think Buehler is going to command a decent amount of money. You know,
yeah, as long as he stays healthy, I think he'll be at least like a, at worst, a 4 ERA kind of guy. And I think he has a chance to be better.
Yeah, I think he is going to be better. I'd say lower threes is where the potential is. And then if he does do that, I think he's looking at the very least, a Blake Snell type contract. You know, and DeGrom got that money as well. You know, 5 years, 170, 180, something like that. Or maybe right around even what Crochet just got. Because Buehler will be, what, 32, I think, this winter.
Yeah, at that point, I'd rather just go all in on Cease or Michael King in free agency too. But
I'm not sure about King. I mean, I might be open-minded, but I feel like Cease is like, he's pretty close to Tommy John at this point. Just you look at those starts, almost 30 starts a year for 4 or 5 years in a row. I don't know. There's a lot of mileage there. At least Buehler, his elbow was just rebuilt just like Crochet's was. So I'd have a little bit more confidence there.
Yeah, you never know. I'd love to have a dominant guy right behind Crochet, because it looks like Houck's going to take a step back this year.
Oh, I hope not. He was better than I thought he would be on what was that, Saturday? But I think Cora left him in there a little too long. I would have just, you know, capped it at five innings, and I don't know if we win the game at that point. I mean, it was a one-run game, so, you know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited for his next start, but yeah, I see.
Yeah, I think he'll get it together. He seems like a guy who will, you know, do everything possible to try to figure it out. Like, he's a competitor, so that's one of the things I like about him. And he's another guy that just doesn't rattle. So, all right, well, we will wrap on that. We'll be back. We should be back for our normal spot to cover this Orioles series. That'll be a Thursday night. We'll be on all, if not most, of the apps. So, and then, you know, business as usual for our Apple Podcast, Spotify crowd. So, big news of the day. Hopefully the Red Sox can follow it up with a W. Crochet is the next starting pitcher. I think he's going up against Zach Eflin on Wednesday. So hopefully he'll get the W. He's the only starting pitcher that has, I don't know, did he get the win that day?
No, he didn't.
No, okay. The team did, so... Hopefully we'll get it done. So we'll be back with you Thursday night, everyone. Take care.